Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of ParkWest DC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon and welcome to Check Out California. I'm Craig Sullivan and this is Rad Gantos. We co-host this program twice a month on the OC Talk Radio Network, and we've got a very special guest with us today, Miss Nan Richardson from ACS. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. You need to get a little bit closer to the microphone. Okay. There you go. Nan, why don't you give us a little bit of your background, and then let's discuss your company a little bit.
Okay. Well, I have been fortunate enough to be involved in the commercial real estate, hospitality, architecture, and design world for 25, 30 years now. And it's something that I absolutely love.
It's in your DNA.
It is. It is. Anything creative and being able to change things and make them look beautiful is something I've been involved with my whole life. I started my first part of my career in the fashion and design world and was a menswear buyer, ran a couple men's stores, and was a fashion model for a long time.
Wow.
So it's
now, we've known each other for a number of years, and that's the first time I've heard that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
So dressing, you know, whether I'm designing hotels or dressing people or whatever, it's kind of all the same to me.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
So tell us about ACS. You joined them, what, 2 years ago now?
It's just been over a year now.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a big one-year anniversary last month.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and it's a really fun company. We are growing like crazy. We have three offices. We're in Newport Beach, Milwaukee, and Atlanta, so that we can cover the whole country and basically get there in within 2 hours for any location in the United States. And we do architecture, store planning, and construction management for retail and hospitality. Brands, big brands.
Nan, let's give everybody the website so they can follow while we're talking. What's the website for ACS? Do we know?
ACS-architects.com.
That's it. Very good. So you've been there a year. Tell us about some of the projects that you've worked on in hospitality and retail in Southern California.
Well, in Southern California, we have
been... Or California.
Okay. We have been the sole architect, I think, for Ayers Hotels.
Okay.
We have two of them just in the process of being finished, one in Rialto, one in Chula Vista. But we have worked on a number of them. They did a really nice one up in Sonoma that was really pretty.
Very nice.
Yeah. And locally as well, we just finished a Spring Hill Suites for Marriott in Huntington Beach.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah, that's kind of a...
Just down the street.
Yep. It's right up the street. So, and then some of our retailers, we work with big national brands, Target, Macy's, Starbucks. We're doing a lot with Walgreens, those type of things where they're big programs where they come up with a new concept.
Right.
And we help go in and roll them out to, say, 500 locations and put in the new concept and get them built. And
very nice. That's got to be, you know, a fascinating change from hospitality, because now you've got this retail component that, whether it's a Walgreens or a Target, it's a national brand that everybody knows, and you're coming in there to help them launch, you know, something new within the confines of their operation, you're also doing the design for their next generation stores too, aren't you?
Right. Yeah. We're working on new concepts for Olive Garden and for Yard House. And then once we come up with those, we're kind of a unique company because we have probably one of the largest groups of store planners. Mm. And a lot of people don't understand that architects really can't they're not store planners.
Right.
They go in and they have to understand retail and the flow and how many SKUs have to be on the floor and how to move it around like
operations,
a giant operations,
linear shelf spacing,
yeah,
product distribution,
exactly,
collections,
yeah,
that whole thing.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is when it relates to hospitality, we go at projects a little bit differently, and that's part of something I'll tell you about later on. Kind of tips of how-tos, but we engage our construction managers, our architects,
okay,
and even the store planners when we're looking at a new hotel or a new project from all sides, from operations, from constructability, from value engineering, because a lot of the, you know, the contractors,
yep,
can work with the designers if we bring them the interior designers in right up front.
Right,
they
enough.
Can make
yep.
suggestions so that people don't go all the way down the road and design things, mm-hmm, and then come back and go, wow, that's, you know, $400 a square mm-hmm. foot and it has to be at 200.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if we do oak and we stain it like maple mm-hmm. and nobody will really know the difference mm-hmm. or things
right.
like that.
Yeah.
So we go at projects from a little different angle than a lot of architectural firms.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, especially, okay, look, there's a vast difference between the Marriott product select service you just did and
right.
the Ayers Hotel. Okay. So, yeah, you want something that's durable that gives you that nice look in that Marriott select service because that's a workhorse of a hotel.
Right.
You know, you've got kids, families, business travelers, free breakfast, in and out, where the Ayers Hotel is a different model. It's more upscale, more of a boutique in its nature. And the finishes are, you know, European and, you know, really totally different than what you're getting into with Marriott or Hilton.
You know, though, Craig, it's funny because I just spent about 4 days in Palm Springs and at an extended family, so we stayed at Marriott, okay? And it's interesting that to notice the activities. People were in and out, true, but there was a lot of activity that was happening on the property later on at night where people consolidated around fire pit or in the jacuzzi or whatever, and there was a lounge, you know, mm-hmm. they're all trying to be more loungy, more grab and go, more cafe, more bistro. And there were certain things that were being missed. There are certain things that were missed, even though this was a repetitive rollout, that were being missed specific to that location and uniqueness of where the place was. I saw a book on cross-country skiing.
In Palm Springs.
Yes, and a book
nice.
on a book on a on an old hotel on the Jersey Shore, sitting on the library bookcase
yeah.
of the Marriott in Palm Springs, and so it's really interesting to see how that also sometimes gets missed. But to your point, that bringing them in early,
right,
absolutely has a direct impact on loss of time, downtime before opening, because value engineering is going to come in anyway.
Right. And understanding the budget, like right up front.
Right.
And people don't like to do that. I mean, including procurement, because you can't have it go all the way down. I've seen
that.
This a ton of times, and
yeah.
they get all the way down this great path,
uh-huh.
and then they go to order all of their furniture and case goods, and that's way out. And then they have to go back and redo everything. And I really think it's so important to come in at the very beginning.
Right.
And then have... The other thing is having face-to-face mm-hmm. meetings, because a lot of companies will tend to hide behind the keyboard, and it doesn't give you the opportunity to sit down and kind of brainstorm with mm-hmm. the other, you know, the contractor and the interior and the architect, and really, you know, look at what you can do. Now, you bring up a great point, because one of the biggest trends I'm sure everybody's been hearing, but it's making it local, and it's giving it personality
right.
and changing it more into the lobbies being more like a home and the lounge area, and getting people out of their rooms and into common area where they can hang out and talk. And it's a great idea to look at hiring like local interior designers that understand the personality and the cool things that are around, or artists or things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, those
that
are missed opportunities that
yeah.
you
right.
see all the time. We see all the time.
Yeah.
Where they don't bring in that local flavor for the artist, or they don't take
yep.
advantage of cross-branding with some local resources,
right.
which make that experience a unique experience. The take-behinds, the things that they will take with them from that shop later on, are unique to that space.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the brands, if they don't get on board with that, they're going to lose a lot of business, because I don't care if you're a straight brand, you've got to infuse some interest and
I couldn't agree
unique
more with
branding.
You.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're seeing that. I mean, with
yeah,
the soft yeah. brands with you know, Marriott and Hilton in particular, and IHG, you know, you're getting that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to trickle down to the standard plain vanilla Marriott where right. it's going to be celebrating, you know, the local community. And you know, you look at the boutique side and the influences now back on the standard branded hotel are astronomical, and it's going to continue to go that way, especially yeah. as we've got the millennials and everybody else coming up and not so much Gen X spending the money. It's going to be the other generations.
Right,
so,
right.
You brought up a good point when you're getting together with one of your projects, the face-to-face meetings often early. I know that we try to, you know, bring everybody in early, and we do weekly meetings, monthly meetings, and procurement is, you know, one of the things that can make or break a good project.
Right.
And, you know, we've been very fortunate to work with a few procurement companies, and I got to tell you, they've absolutely delivered every time. So, you know, get there, know your dates, know when you need to get yep. in line in China for your furniture packages and everything else.
Get your orders in early.
Yeah, yes. Get all of your long-term items ordered way up front.
Yeah, value engineering isn't holding the money until the last minute.
Right.
Some people believe that's value engineering. That's not value engineering.
No.
That's just being cheap.
No. Yeah. You know the other cool thing that I think this is one of the most exciting times in the industry between retail, restaurants, and hospitality,
yeah.
because now they're all merging, right?
Yep.
Retail's completely having to, the shopping centers are having to readjust, and it's all merging into one.
Experiential.
Yeah. The Spring Hill Suites that we just finished, I don't know if you're aware, but West Elm, the furniture company, has a big deal they've done with Marriott. And the first round is with Spring Hill Suites.
Right.
And the one in Huntington Beach is one of the I wasn't aware of that. And I went in there to do some photography the other day. And most of the lobby furniture, it's fabulous.
Nice.
Yeah. And in the rooms, there's a lot of their furniture.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, because I've met with West Elm and done some work, that you can actually go online if you like the furniture in the hotel.
You can order it
for your home. And I think you're going to see a lot more. Yeah. A lot more cross-marketing and things like that where...
Oh, you've got it with Tommy Bahama and a couple
right.
of others.
Right, Shinola, Restoration Hardware.
Which is really funny because it's a new take on a slightly old concept,
right?
Where all these hotels basically started putting out their heavenly beds,
right?
Starwood, and what have you.
Yeah. And then, you know, the catalog that followed. And now instead of actually having their own, which is basically somebody manufacturing and their labeling, is just to actually literally go with somebody that is retail and is out there and is high enough that they would basically equate it to their brand and providing that. It'll probably still be customized line for that particular hotel property.
Yeah, but I think it's helping the retailers
too.
Give them another venue for another channel.
Yep.
Right.
For whether it's just marketing or picking up new, customers. I think it's a great idea. And then even seeing the retail, how it's changing in hotels,
right.
where you've got, instead of having your old school gift shop that just had
right.
junk and shot glasses and t-shirts and
in China, life is a beach on the coast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now you're starting to see some of the retailers actually coming in. Like Trina Turk was one of the first ones that was really trendsetting in boutique hotels, and she goes in and actually leases the space.
Yeah,
and then manage it, and she buys all of the goods and has her team work in it, and there's another new revenue for just like the F&B for hotels.
Right, and they're getting better at it.
Right,
they are.
Right,
Nan, it's interesting. I spoke at a conference a long time ago that was about retail and apparel. It was resort apparel and it was retail, and it was interesting to see that the properties were completely at a loss of how to merchandise the stuff out of the brands from the retail side. And the retail side, all they wanted to do was put the stuff in a box and send it over for somebody else to set up.
Right.
And there was a disconnect that was so easily remediable to what you're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad to see that happen because there was great opportunity for both of them.
Absolutely.
And yet all they needed to do was actually have that retail person come in and merchandise.
Merchandise and staff
and
it with
staff
people
it.
That are retail, not just, an older... housekeeper that you have that can babysit the store.
Yeah.
It's just retail is a different animal.
Yep.
And
knowledge base, training, familiarity with product. Yeah.
Well, you've been working with that in the spa side.
Absolutely. We saw it on the spa side, for a long time ago, even today, the amount of retail that is basically provided at the spa side, which has a 60% margin, is not enough. And big part of it is because they don't bring in that knowledge base early enough to program right. that space to have it be maximizing on the revenue generation.
Right, and train the people
and
that are
the
there.
Sure.
You know, that's true. And I mean, like I said, I started out in retail at 14 and a half. I worked at a men's clothing store, and I remember my mom had to drive me to Southwest Plaza to drop me off. But he was probably one of the best mentors ever. It was like a men's haberdashery.
Yeah.
So it had everything from sportswear to custom suits.
I think I know where that used to be.
Yeah, it used to be called Guy Livingston.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But he just was so good at how customer service 101, and it was very simple,
mm-hmm.
yeah. you know, and how to sell brands that you have by putting them in the windows and showing
right.
them. It'd be funny. We could have, you know, some jackets and things that haven't sold for months.
Put them in the window.
Put them in the window, and we'd sell out of them.
They're gone.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's kind of like old school, but some of the retailers now, I'm just blown away. They
yeah.
just, they don't train their people.
No,
they
don't.
It's like service 101, whether it's hospitality.
Yes,
right?
Hospitality.
Right?
We talk about
there
it all
restaurants.
The time on this show. Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean,
hospitable. That's part of hospitality.
Yeah,
it's in the
exactly.
name.
Exactly.
Hey,
exactly.
how can I help you?
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Thank
Welcome.
You for being
Welcome.
Here.
Welcome. Come on in.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
You're seeing it in more and more projects. You've got this hotel enhanced mixed use. You've got mm-hmm. retail on the ground floor. You've
yeah.
got F&B on the ground floor, both part of the hotel and, you know, exterior entrances going into specific restaurants. You've got, you know, some condos or lofts or other things mm-hmm. in the hotel. So, you know,
Full service,
it's making
yeah.
that complete change. And I think you're seeing more and more of that in some of the hotels around here. You look at the Marriott over on Bon Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
They did a renovation on that 2 years ago, and they started celebrating Newport Beach and Orange County and brought in a lot of local photography. And they were one of the first ones in this area that stopped calling it the lobby and started calling it the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's a good idea.
We got conversation areas and everything else. So it's an exciting time to, you know, be in design, construction,
the boundaries
in the hotel
blur
industry.
Yeah, I think it's great mm-hmm. because you can think out of that box that we
right.
talked about, right?
Exactly.
And for so many years, I mean, working with, you know, shopping center developers, and it was so, well, you get an anchor store, you build this shopping mm-hmm. center like this, and that's just how it's done. And it's like, no, it's not.
Anchor tenant, another one.
Yeah,
right.
It's so
turn
boring.
Around, sell
and
the property.
Finally, you know, it's because I was involved with the guys that started in the surfwear industry. It all grew up around here, right?
Yeah.
And I remember working with the guys from Maui & Sons were mm-hmm. really close friends of mine. And I told Jeff a long time ago, that was the designer, I go, you should go in and they should start doing some branded hotels. So you just kind of do the big picture on the design.
Right.
But it would be like a Maui & Sons themed
mm-hmm.
hotel,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a Quicksilver. Or, mm-hmm. And I think Quicksilver went down the road on that. I don't know what happened. But now you're seeing, you know, a lot of the big brands have done it, some of the luxury brands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's where you can start getting creative and blurring the lines and using talent that's out there that's not just, you know, you just go to the people that always have been because it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the way we've done it for the last
year. Right.
Years.
And, yeah. you know, now it's more acceptable to put small teams that have a lot of expertise in areas yeah. instead of, you know, having to use the security of hiring one giant architectural firm that has,
wow.
because it's a big name and it's safe,
well,
right?
Sometimes it's an ocean liner that moves very slow. And
we're yeah.
in a very competitive industry and a very
right.
competitive market. And you have to be very innovative, very quick
mm-hmm.
and sustainable. And sometimes yeah. that big ocean liner is not the right vehicle to be on.
Right, yeah. right.
You need a speedboat, a cigarette boat.
There yeah, well, the whole bunch of them
yeah.
around, so
yeah.
you all can
yeah.
circle around that
yeah.
ship.
There you go.
Yeah.
What are you seeing for market changes out there right now? You know, is there a hot button that, you know, okay, Marriott's now putting this into all their full service, they're doing something different to their select service. What are you seeing out there that's going to change the market?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of just, I think it's interesting the locations that the brands and the developers are looking to put hotels. I think that's a big change in this market. Like I said already, you know, the retail centers.
Yeah.
That's like a real hot one right now, mm-hmm. trying to find, they're all looking for great space.
In a lot of malls are going out, so
malls.
it's repositioning them.
Right.
Those properties.
Right. Then they're doing a lot of around universities. Mm-hmm. It's extremely popular. I'm working with two developers that are really, really interested in finding some properties like that.
Hospitals and universities.
Yeah.
They're almost recession-proof.
Yep.
you know, the population's getting sicker, and we've always got more kids going to school. So
That's right. Yeah.
Well, and you have older people that have an affinity to that alma mater that will still want to go back in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Now and take that retirement home that's on campus and get all their education, you know, after the fact that they've raised their kid.
Right.
You know, it's just,
right.
You know, so there's a lot of new focuses that, to your point, people, developers, if they're smart, they're looking at these little niche markets
right.
that are underserved.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, God, there's so many brands coming out. It's crazy.
Yeah, we've right? launched one a month for 45 months now.
I know. It's a little confusing.
Yeah. To say the least.
You know, I personally absolutely adore the boutique industry because
right. mm-hmm.
there's just so much you can do and such creativity and
yep.
And, you know, bringing it, changing the meeting space is really different too now.
Yeah.
It's having to become, you know, entertainment space, band stage.
Very mixed use.
Very mixed use.
Yeah, yeah. Multifunctional.
Very, yeah, and it has to be very modular,
mm-hmm.
movable.
Scalable, yeah.
It's just, there's a lot of fun things that you can do if you...
I think the Moxie in New York is one of my favorite ones in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's
that's
got
a great
the,
hotel.
Yeah, the rooftop where you've got yep. the little putting green and you've got the bar and when weather's appropriate. And then, what is it, I think the third floor or fourth floor where they've got the restaurant. And there's also private meeting space that can double as a private dining room if you want to have a you know, little dinner party there.
Right,
so
or weddings or
weddings,
big,
any
big
number
draw.
Of things.
Yeah.
And I think you're seeing, you know, a lot of these unique boutique standards almost
mm-hmm.
coming over to whether it's Moxie or Tapestry or Canopy or Time and, you know, various others that are out there. So it's a good time to be in the hospitality.
You know what
side.
Else is kind of interesting? I was just reading that, you know, dual brands are they're getting really
yeah.
hot right now. And that's kind of an obvious because it helps offset the
co-brand,
back,
yeah.
Yeah, co-branding. But then it offsets the cost of staffing. You
yeah.
can use back of the house, share them. And then I was
one
even
pool, one laundry.
Yep, one rooftop bar.
Yeah.
You can have a, you know, one that's more for the millennial over here that's maybe, you know, one style upper end for other people.
Right.
But I also was reading now some people are looking at doing triple branding and doing them layered in one building and having several floors of one brand, several floors of the next.
Yeah.
So I find it's really interesting.
There's at least two of those under construction right now in the East Coast. So yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was reading.
Yeah.
Now I wonder from an architectural standpoint, I mean, you know, it'd be a different, because each one's a different animal, right?
Well, and operationally, too.
And operational.
Right? I mean, yeah.
You know,
standards
most of those are select service, so there's not a whole
right.
lot of difference, okay? It's really about the price point and the amenities. So you're
yeah.
going to put a courtyard and a residence in, you know, and maybe, you know, a spring hill or something else. Now, if you're going to do, you know, I mean, you've seen the dual-branded full service. We've got one of the most beautiful ones in California, in downtown LA, with the JW and the Ritz-Carlton.
Right.
Okay. That's beautiful. It worked out really well. Not so sure, you know, if there's really a savings if you're doing a select service and a full service, because it is such a different animal.
Right. The operations.
Right.
And the, yeah.
Yeah. So
the shared amenities and the public areas. I mean, at some point they're going to cross over. I mean, I keep going back. Was it Mandalay that has the hotel at? Isn't that one that
they changed that name
yeah,
to
well,
something
just,
else?
But
yeah.
There was a situation yeah. where you had a large property that basically wanted to have a boutique component
yeah.
tower.
Yeah.
And so they basically put in that
right.
thing, but you still had to walk through common areas to get to it. And so unless you have a separate entrance and you really
yeah.
and everything.
You yeah. can't have, a, you know, they've got to be appropriate for each
right.
other. And you can't have, you know, a Ritz-Carlton and a Spring Hill Suites.
No,
you know, it's
not
just there's
happen.
No way.
Yeah,
right.
There's no
happen.
Way.
And remain appropriate.
Yeah.
Right?
right.
Because
right.
today appropriate, 5 years from now, is that still appropriate
exactly.
or not?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, we're almost a halfway point, so Paul's going to play a commercial and we'll be back in just a minute.
From Eureka to San Diego and Malibu to Bakersfield, the California Lodging Investment Conference, CLIC, is a one-of-a-kind, focusing exclusively on our Golden States hotel market. Click was launched in 2016 by Craig Sullivan, a seasoned hospitality industry professional, to harness the knowledge of our industry leaders, support our community, and educate emerging talent. Click brings together lodging professionals from California and beyond for one day of learning, professional development, and networking. If you are an owner-operator, investor, broker, developer, lender, management company, brand, or professional services provider, you should plan on attending Click 2 on March 8, 2018 at the Hilton Irvine Orange County Airport. We invite you to check out the California Lodging Investment Conference website at clickconference.com for the latest details and sponsorship opportunities. Early registration now open. And as a listener of the Checkout California Radio Show, please make sure to use our exclusive discount code of CHECKOUTCA when registering for this one-of-a-kind California hospitality event that sold out in its very first year.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
Welcome back. This is Check Out California. I'm Craig Sullivan. Brad Gantos, my co-host, and Nan Richardson are all here in the studio today. And thank you again for joining us. I appreciate you being here, Nan. Let's talk about what you're seeing out there right now. Give us a little bit of insight to some of your projects. Okay, you've given us a little tidbit earlier about, you know, team meetings. You know, when you've been engaged for a project, what are some of the first things that you do to ensure that this is going to be a successful project?
Well, I think because we have done so much national work for retailers, we have got a lot of experience with the cities and municipalities. We do all of our entitlement work in-house. We don't go out because we want someone that knows how to go in and negotiate. And if it's something small that they just need changing, we can even, you know, try and help them right there or understand instead of leaving it and then coming back and telling someone. So that's a really key thing.
Yeah.
That's my train of thought.
Well, I think where you were going with this is that it is super critical when you're dealing with something that you have that local expertise, that you have that, and not just in terms of familiarity with the environment, how that translates into design, but how do you navigate the waters with the city, with regulations, have a familiarity with what will fly, what will not, because that's all advice you bring to a client that may be familiar or maybe not. They may be looking for putting in a property in a market that they haven't been before, and they don't know what the pitfalls are, and they may very innocently walk into something that 6 months earlier or a year and a half earlier was not on their radar screen, but actually is going to be problematic if they go down that particular path. So that local expertise, I think, is super critical when it comes to getting a project off the ground.
Right. That's where I was going.
There you go.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know. It's very true. And it's missed all the time because people are looking at background expertise, blah, blah, but sometimes that local experience is basically put on the back burner. Unfortunately, that could kill a project.
Right.
Very easily.
And just knowing the kind of the personalities and the
personalities? There's personalities involved?
Do they play well together?
Yeah, no. You know, and who's really difficult and kind of how to work around that is crucial.
Maybe it's not the head of the building department. Maybe it's the second person in command.
Whoever works, you know, whoever you can get in.
How many renovations are you doing right now on hospitality projects?
We are, most of ours right now are ground up.
Ground up, okay.
Yeah, I don't think we have any renovations at this current time. The hotel portion of our company is about 30% and trying to grow right now. And so we've mainly been doing ground ups. Mm-hmm. The Spring Hill Suites was ground ups. We've done some Hiltons. I think in the past, way back prior to me, there was several renovations.
Okay.
We'd love doing those.
Yeah. I think that's as construction funds get tighter and tighter, you're
going to
see
more of that. And there's not a lot of land.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, so. No.
Well, there is, but you don't want to build in some of those areas. It's just like
desirable location-wise, yes. It's more, a lot of built-out areas.
Right.
Tell us about some of the Hilton projects that you guys have done. No? Just they were Northern California, Southern California?
They were Northern California. They were, I believe, in Texas.
Okay.
We had a couple, quite a few in Texas.
Texas.
I can't.
No zoning makes it easy.
I know. Yeah. I know. And everything's big there.
There. Yes. Yes. Right, and right, flat.
Right.
What are some of the tips you have to avoiding going over budget and schedule some of your projects?
Well, I think, you know, going back to having the team get together right up front, hiring the right appropriate designers that understand whatever the brand and the concept is, and working right up front as well with the contractor.
Yeah.
So that you can, you know, keep things very tight. You have to have really good communications, trying to be out on site as much as possible. You know, it's kind of the same things that we've reiterated, is really taking the time to flesh everything out up front so that you know what you're doing, and everybody's on the same page.
For each project
every
and
single
each personality.
Project. Yep,
so.
Yep, and every single team. And really clearing how you like to be communicated with. You know, what's the best way for each team?
Right.
You know, do you prefer personal calls? Do you like emails? Do you, you know...
Right, especially these days with text and what is that thing? Slack? Is it
Slack?
Slack, and you know, sometimes these threads just become really ridiculous, and the communication quality is falling apart. How important do you think it is, Nan? Because again, it's something that I don't hear enough about. How important do you think it is about managing expectations?
That's probably one of the largest as well as.
That's what I'm asking.
And that's basically looked to as the architect's job, is to managing expectations, managing the team.
Sometimes
I think it's very difficult.
Difficult, yeah.
It's very difficult, and you really have to go out of your way to try and figure out what are the hot buttons for the developer or the brand, what are the crucial things that have to be there, where is it you can push back a little bit, what are the personalities,
because
you know,
that managing,
take the time.
Well, that managing expectation is not necessarily just solely internally, right? Because also managing expectations of the client, managing expectations of the municipalities. I mean, everybody involved, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and you really have to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I always like to say is there's two words involved kind of in architecture and design, and there's ego and there's humility.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are presenting ego, your team's not going to listen. Your clients aren't going to be happy, and you have to take the humility side of saying, hey, you know what? You could be right. My design might be a little bit off. Can you help me out here? Give me an idea. Or, you know what? We should work through this instead of me just trying to hammer you and say, no, my design has to look like this, and it has to be this. I see that all the time. And, you know, because
I've worked with people
right,
like that.
And, you know, Craig and I are both in business development, and that's a very strange animal. I always tell people that
when you're dealing
you
with
have
ego
to be a
humility.
Strange person to do what we do.
Yeah, right.
Because we're constantly talking to people, having to listen to what they say, try and read, you know, who might be the best team to match them up with.
Yeah.
And I've sat in so many planning meetings, and it's forgotten art to listen, you know, to just hear what your client's saying or what the other team's saying instead of trying to make them listen to you.
Wait for the opening to get
right,
your stuff out.
Right. You have to really sit back, watch their body language. And I think that's something, right, that you have to learn to survive as a business development person. You really have to be flexible and not ego-driven, or you're not going to get anywhere.
You're not going to get anywhere.
Nowhere.
You've got to be the fly on the wall. You've got to pay attention to everybody.
Sometimes you have to be the bearer of bad news. You got to pull a person off from the ledge. I mean, and be willing to do that in a very loving and kind manner, because it's in their best interest and they can't see it internally or otherwise.
Right. You know, I did a big renovation for a Radisson in Anaheim previously. And it was so funny, because talk about managing expectation. Renovations are a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the brand, it's switching from one to another, and they've got their PIP, and they're saying, you've got to do this. And then this was a new owner from Thailand, and his parents were really the ones, and I don't know if I go into it, but anyway, it was very difficult managing the expectation of the costs and how to, you know, what it realistically costs to bring it up to what the PIP's saying.
Yeah.
And but doing it so you're not insulting them and you're respectful is, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people miss out on.
Right,
I've worked for quite a few architectural firms, and I've seen that. I've seen us as a industry fall down because there's a lot of ego and they don't think about, okay, we've got a budget to work here. It's a very special project for these people. Sometimes it's only one that they own.
Right.
And you have to be respectful of that and try and do.
And it's their first one and you've got to guide
you
them
can,
along.
You know, so. And help them out.
Go ahead and answer
be
the
honest.
Phone, Rad.
I have no idea how to answer this phone. I've been here for 4 years. I don't know how to answer this phone. Okay. Phone. Who handles a phone?
The joys of live radio.
I know. Say
so.
Hello.
Yeah. No. It's like plugged to the wall. I don't know what to do with this thing. But, you know, it's interesting because you're right. It is a lost art form. And it's funny because we have forever talked about our industries in terms of design or architecture as being sometimes isolated in an ivory tower and not really giving the training needed.
Right.
If you're fortunate enough to have gone through it and knocked your knees around a little bit and you've kind of learned along the way and you're the kind of personality that will absorb the lesson, you have gotten to be a little seasoned and better at it.
Right.
But it's really interesting because it is a common situation. And people, a lot of firms would be very well served if they actually took some of that time and trained their people. Mm-hmm. In exactly what you're talking about.
Right. And, you know, I think that's one thing that's really unique about ACS. And like I said, I've worked for some of the big firms. It's a really good group of people that really try and listen and they really care about trying to do something better. And some of these big projects that we have to turn, you know, 500 projects in, you know, 6 months or a year. It can test you.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, I've been very impressed with the people and our store planning and our construction management because they're all really good people that want to take the time to sit down and listen and try and work it out. You know, an interesting story, we did we were asked to come in. There was a new concept store for a retailer, big telephone retailer. And they'd done a concept design through a big, well-known international architecture firm. They came up with it. And unfortunately, it came out to like almost $250 a square foot. Well, in retail, when you're rolling that out, it doesn't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they said, can you help us out? And this is kind of how we approach all projects is why I'm telling you this story. We came in and we pulled everything apart from the drawings to the ceiling to the procurement, everything. Relooked at it. Materials, took it apart. We actually found a lot of money that was being wasted in the procurement, which unfortunately we were kind of stepping on some of the internal toes. But, you know, we got it down. They said, we have to get this down to like 100 square feet or we can't roll this out. And we actually did that. It came out to $103 a square foot. Mm-hmm. Now, this, granted, this wasn't in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, they, and the big architect came back in, and they really couldn't tell any difference in the design, except for the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's kind of a cool thing that we can offer.
Yeah.
We look at projects like that, try and take them apart and see where we really can help. Listen to your budget and get what you want out of it. Help the designers get the look that they want.
Yeah.
That's a substantial saving. I mean, you're talking about half the cost. You're talking about a national rollout, a repositioning of a brand. You're talking about potentially in a situation, not necessarily in this case maybe, but where there's a franchise model, which basically has a direct correlation with whether that franchise company basically is appealing to somebody buying into because of the cost
of
build out.
Right.
I mean, and it's funny because unless you are the kind of firm that actually understands those nuances, you're just looking at it purely as an aesthetic exercise, and it's not going to be the quality product that needs to be out there to compete and to basically serve the purpose of that client.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, a lot of the hotels obviously they're franchisees.
Yep.
And it just is really important that you kind of try and back up and listen and see how you can help them out and really take it apart.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Especially on these ground ups, you've got a new owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may have all the experience in Europe or China or someplace else and not here.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the banks are going to require a management company. You know, the brand's going to require a management company. And they're going, well, wait a minute. You know, well, you're not certified by Marriott. You're not approved by Hilton. So here, now you've got to do this. And, you know, managing those expectations from the get-go can has always been critical.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always so much money involved, and you know, they're just going, well, wait a minute, you know, what can we do? And I think that's, you know, one of the things that your firm, you know, really excels at is to bring that in, and, you know, let's put a little bit more oxygen into this room.
And, right. And let's take a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What's the most innovative and creative project that you've had in your career?
Hmm.
And what would you do differently?
Let's see. Innovative. And I mean, there was a... I didn't personally work on it. I helped do a little bit of the marketing. But there's a new project for, you know, Coast Hotels.
Yeah.
And they're doing some really innovative things up there. It was an old building. A friend of mine that's doing all the branding for it. I think that they've done some really great the storytelling's the most important part. I like seeing boutiques that come in and they really take the time to understand the history of the building. And,
right.
Little things that they can do. There was one in Charlotte that a friend of mine worked on that took over a really old historic building, and there was a big pile of bricks that were left over from part of it in the back, and they this company came in and actually did all the curation for the art, for the store items, and they actually used, this is really funny, they used the bricks, tied them, put a little tag that gave the history of where they came from, and they sold them in the store, and they sold out of them.
That's great. Get your little piece of history.
Like, take it home. You get a little piece of history, but that's what everybody wants, something a little bit unique,
authentic.
Or different.
Yeah.
Authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I love reading stories like that.
Because
that's why I love the boutique industry. They just are doing such... great things.
You get down to the gas lamp and you have so much fun at some of those hotels, especially where they've, you know, like it's the Andaz now, but when it opened is the Ivy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there when that building was closed and they had a dirt floor. Okay. You know, it's like, really? You're going to do this here? Okay.
Yeah.
And it turned out beautiful. And the old quarter kitchen that was their restaurant was, the food was absolutely magnificent.
You know, right up the street. And again, it's super critical for that kind of thinking, especially when it comes to commercial real estate that is retail oriented these days.
Right.
Right. Super critical. I mean, you can't spend enough time actually to get that dialed in correctly. One of the examples that I can think of that was happenstance accident is the redoing of the Packin House up in Anaheim.
And there was that's right.
Shahid Siddiqui, who was on
he
the
was
show.
He was way ahead of his time. He was brilliant.
Nan,
he nailed it.
You know, they laughed at him. I remember I went to school down the street in 94 and they laughed at him when he put in the lab. And at the top
the
of the market,
anti-lab, remember?
The anti-lab,
and everybody laughed at it.
Right. The anti-mall. And they laughed at him. And at the top of the market, that was generating $400 a square foot versus $100 at South Coast Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Anaheim comes after him. They dig that. Now the mix and everybody's sort of following that model. But the interesting story I was going with is right next to the Packin House, there's an old car dealership. Used to be the Packard car dealership right there on Anaheim Boulevard. Okay. So when they were done with the Packin House, they started impacting the area around it. They started putting in like beer garden and stuff like that. And there was this building. So they go in and they were going to put in an Umami burger. So Umami comes in to do a burger in there and they realize that down below, because it used to be a Packer dealership, there's all these license plates that were never issued.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay. So when you today you walk into that, and it still says Packard. Like they actually went in and put in concrete Packard.
Yeah.
It wasn't there originally, but they put in this to tie it into that history of the building. There's a big chandelier that's hanging over the bar, the central bar, and there's sconces on the walls. They are all made from license plates that were never issued on any cars
that
were down in the dirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is a unique feature that is authentic to that location. It now enhances the Umami brand based on that location that was sustainable. You can't go buy that chandelier in a store and actually install it in another burger joint, right? It is a sustainable thing in a world importance of optics. That is a huge asset. And it was basically resourced down below from unused license plates.
Yeah.
Love it. Great
story. You know what's kind of interesting is, you know who kind of pioneered the mixed use at shopping centers was Rick Caruso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a genius years ago with Americana.
Yes.
I'll never forget when I first went up there, I was like, wow, this is a whole city.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like walking down a main street with apartments up
the Grove,
above.
All of it.
And
Gold statue in the middle, a la Rockefeller Center, and then the tree that goes in the winter, and then the snow that's snowing.
It was, you know, that was kind of the first of the, and the other mall guys didn't want to even, oh, he's crazy. And
well, that's why he's
now he's still going.
Yeah.
You know, driving his boat in Newport Harbor, yeah. And I wave at it every day. And, you know, some of these other guys are panicked because they just stayed the same old.
Well, the brilliance of Caruso, I hats off for one thing. When Nordstrom got pulled from the Galleria to the Americana. And in that negotiation, in that deal, he ended up with the space inside the Galleria. So there's a space in a competitive property across the street that he has control over. It was an amazing move. I was like, wow, did he just actually establish a space within a competitor's space in that deal with Nordstrom?
Yeah.
Hey, we're getting into our last 10 minutes, Nan. So I want to ask you about what are some of your inside recommendations for making a project successful?
Good question. Yeah.
I would think, you know, kind of circling back, you really need to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. What's the real point? And then really digging your hands into how are you going to make that space an experience? Mm. Taking, you know, it may be just a standard brand, but how are you going to make it local? How are you going to make it unique? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to utilize the space so that they can have new revenue streams? You know, like I said, the meeting space is really changing. How can you make it so it can go from a hot wedding party space to entertaining the local community with bands on Friday or Saturday nights, to
artist
receptions, you know, really, really thinking about that. And then how are you going to bring in some of the local, you know, do some research. Who are the hot local artists or who are some of the retail stores that might even be great to come in and, supply some of the materials or the room robes or sell tennis shoes. I mean,
local
bands tennis
scene,
shoes, you know?
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of really cool history here in Southern California. You know, a lot of the clothing companies, they're all here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be nice to see some of that. And, of course, all of our surf and our beach. And I do wish that we could have a lot more properties by the beach, take advantage of the beautiful Newport Bay. I mean, I was born and raised here. I'm a Hogue Hospital baby, and I've always been frustrated.
Fourth generation.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank goodness that there's a couple, but we really don't have any hotels that have a rooftop that you can take advantage. I mean, Bob's new place down at the Lido House is probably one of the closest.
Yeah. It's a beautiful hotel.
It's a shame because we've got a beautiful bay with the Christmas parade and all of that, and we just can't. It's just sad.
And I think you're absolutely correct on the fact that there's a lot of hidden gems and in terms of resources. I mean, I've shared this with Greg, and I've probably shared on there before. You know, it just astounds me when I walk into a property that's on the coast that is basically in a community that has resources, it has talent, it has an art school that basically does everything from fashion. You were talking about starting in fashion. Why are you not doing trunk shows for local fashion designers that are up and coming instead of actually spending tons of money to bring in something? Why aren't you basically providing the environment to basically support the culture and lifestyle that's being sold through those brands like Maui and Sun and Quicksilver and stuff instead of actually just throwing them onto a shelf with everything else that you're bringing?
Right. You know, they used to do that. In fact, I told you I used to model. I was an in-house model for Neiman Marcus here, and Fashion Isle is part of them. And I represented a couple stores in South Coast. And they would hire me to do trunk shows. Do you remember when Kano's was along the bay?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the local stores would bring that in. Neiman Marcus, I'd go out to, you know, some of the restaurants or hotels.
Right.
And it was a lot of community cross-marketing. And I think that Orange County, L.A., It's very dear to me, and I wish I could see people supporting each other more and having that integrated more, because there's some really cool talent. There's, you know, beautiful, beautiful location. I'm excited about Lido Village. That's been one of my dreams to see that redone, because I thought it was the most beautiful gem sitting around, and it just almost went dead for years.
Right.
But, you know, we've got some work to do around here.
Yes, we do.
Well, and daring not to actually fill every single spot with either a real estate agent or a repetitive restaurant concept. I mean, that's the other thing sometimes where we fall
or
into
a bank.
This. Well, where we fall into this. Well, banks, you got to put your money somewhere, right? And there's a lot of it around here. But we fall into this thing where it's like, oh, look, this worked over here. We'll just put five more of them down the street.
Oh,
or you know,
don't start me on that.
Or nobody starts with thinking about the mix that you put into a downtown area, like, you know, like the Lido Village or San Clemente or Laguna downtown, like where it's, you know, think a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Like, make it special. So when people, I mean, just from the tourist side and the tax, come on, city, why aren't you doing anything?
Sustainability.
You attract more people here. You get more of your taxes, but you're not letting us put anything on the water. It's kind of
funny. We've got a unique community here that doesn't always get celebrated in the right way. But, you know,
I'm hoping
things
one of these days it will.
Things are changing.
So it takes a little guts and takes time. You can't just basically rush it using a template.
Yeah.
You actually have to dig your hands in and find out.
Yeah.
And find that
you
one
can't
little
do a
space.
You can't do a helicopter view when you're basically dealing with communities like
that.
And
I think, you know what? I'm very positive that I think that we're going to see some really cool stuff happening in the next few years because, you know, some of the more traditional cities, like, you know, they have to see it happen somewhere else. Well, it's booming, you know, in some of the smaller states, Nashville and Charlotte.
Nashville's been on fire.
Portland
for a couple
of
years, so.
And we could take some really good lessons from that, not be so afraid of blocking
it out.
Well,
the economic engines are changing too. And you touched on the fact that a lot of the desirable locations, Craig even mentioned it, are built out. So now you're looking at infill projects. Now you're looking at spot zoning. Now you're looking at repurposing, right? And so all of that necessity. When you have all the land on the planet, oh, I'm just going to put this big thing. It worked over there. I'll put it over here. You have to get more sophisticated. So I agree with you. I think it is an exciting time, and some people will rise to the occasion and deliver.
And the ones that are, you know, think out of the box and can get out there and try and push something new. I heard some new things are coming for Balboa Island, and that's kind of mine and Craig's baby.
Some of it I'm not on board with. They're trying to Irvine it.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been very vocal about that.
Well, appropriate, right? Appropriate, sensitive.
Let's turn it into Irvine on the water. No, thank you.
No, it should be something more like Montecito on the water. You know,
well, I think you guys would probably pitchfork and torch the bridge, right? You just stand at the
other.
Not me.
No.
I'll throw torches
my
down
20s,
on it.
Maybe, but not
it,
now. So. Well, here, you know, here's an article that I picked up. We've got almost a century-old YMCA building in downtown San Diego. It's going to be reborn as the Guild, 162-key luxury boutique hotel. Mm-hmm. Orem Hotels is overseeing the multi-year $80 million Marriott Tribute Portfolio project.
Wow.
So, you know, and you and I have had these conversations for years. I love adaptive reuse if it makes sense. And we've seen so much of it that really came off nicely in San Diego, in the gas lamp. And, you know, another thing that just happened recently, McWinnie purchased the 149-key Hyatt House here at Irvine. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't disclose the price, but it was a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to wrap up, Paul. Thank you. there's a lot of neat stuff going on. And I think you're going to see more and more of it. You know, the work has started on the SF Line Hotel up in San Francisco. That's going to be a 236-room Line Hotel, $367 million project. Features 240 condos, 13,000 square feet of retail, 2,000 square feet of community space. So,
you know, another exciting area that's kind of come alive finally is Long Beach. I know. I worked on a project. Yeah. It had to have been 15 years ago, and it almost went, and then they went, nah. But, you know, they've got a couple of really beautiful historic office buildings that two of my developers are looking at to convert to.
One's the ocean.
I got
involved with the city of that 20 years ago. They called me in and they said, we want to turn this into Checkers Hotel. I said, never going to happen. You know?
But now you're starting to see it. They're welcoming it. But it took such a long time.
Well, they have the right leadership in place. Mm-hmm. They have innovative, out-of-the-box thinking. They have a person who's handling the Visitors Bureau and the Performing Arts Center right now that is basically equally in alignment with the mayor. You know, there's a local artist district. The other thing with Long Beach that's interesting is it's sort of a little bit off the radar. I don't think LA and Orange County are really aware what's going on there. They were up in DC and they pitched Long Beach as an international city. There was a very sophisticated deck that was done.
Wow.
And they're bringing the arena back online, right? There's a diversity factor. There's a culinary interest and culinary concepts that's going in there. It's really an interesting thing. It's funny.
It is. I think it's a really neat thing to watch, you know, and the old ports of call. And
yeah.
Palm Springs is another one.
Palm Springs is great, too.
Palm Springs is another one.
It's gone crazy down there.
Yep.
Yes, it has.
Yep.
Well, we're going to wrap this up now. Nan, thank you for joining us today. Today's show has been brought to you by Rod Gantos & Associates and Park West General Contractors. We do have a special show Wednesday of next week. We're going to be making some special announcements here, so hopefully you can all join us then. And we're looking forward to this. Today's show has been brought to you by Production Wise Golden State Media Group, LLC. Thank you very much, and we're out.
Thank you for being our guest today on Check Out California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Check Out California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. So do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.